Come with me, if you have your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I read to you this morning a couple of... I want to talk to you about the last part of Philippians chapter 6. Isn't it interesting, we've got this up here, that how many birds flock together like and just follow each other, even across busy roads and everything? They've got unity of purpose. And it's great through this book seeing the unity of purpose that we can have as a church. And we've discovered so far in this series, which is the last one today, part 6, that we have discovered that people in church in Philippi were close to Paul's heart. It's good to have friends and statesmen in the church that are close to you. You know, it was just even interesting this week. Don sent me a couple of texts. Now he's gone home. Don and Adrian Easton from last week. Great message. I know the young adults really appreciate it. And then Tuesday night was great, wasn't it? Those of you at the leaders meeting, fantastic time. But I know those guys. They just love on me. They care about us as a church. Isn't it great having other people that care about us around the nation, even overseas? I've got friends that care about who we are. And what we're doing as a church. And also I think that helps too, because you know that there's more than just a few people praying for you and believing in you. Who knows that every one of us needs prayer and someone to believe in them and care for them? And that's just the whole message that's underlying the Philippian church. And so they were close to his heart, Paul's, the Philippian church, the church in Philippi, and for a number of reasons, and one of the main reasons was because they were generous to Paul. And no matter what Paul's situation may have looked like from his prison cell, and all the thoughts that might have been going through their minds, well, maybe he did do something wrong, these guys stood by him and gave to him when they were able to. When they had some finance, they said, you know what? We're with you. We're with you emotionally. We're with you in every situation. We're going to be a blessing to you. What a great attitude, hey? And so we've been looking at the first thing that we looked at, actually. One of the first things we looked at in this book was that one of the first things we do is we magnify him. Second, we are to pray for one another. Third, we are to build his church together. Together we build a great church. And on that note, it's Roy and Jane's 25th wedding anniversary. Well done, guys, 25 years. Now, I've also seen, you're Ashley. I don't want to embarrass you, but you're now a registered, you're now a doctor?
Almost.
Almost. When? You're waiting for the results.
But I hope to.
When do they come through?
Four or five weeks.
Are you confident?
Yes.
Father, we pray. Lord, this man's going to be a fantastic doctor. I thank you for the work that he's put in, Father. Bless him today in Jesus' name. And it's great to see him in the house of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, that this man's not only going to be able to minister, Lord, but he's also going to have the words of wisdom for certain people, Lord, that come into his surgery in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic, Ashley. Well done, Ash. Everyone else that's about to start TEE exams, we're praying for you. Can we pray for... Who's it? Jared, you're doing TEE in how many weeks? Next week starts, right? And then, yeah, finish November something. Who else? Anyone else doing exams? Uni students? Can we lift up... Let's remember to lift up all these people that are in the middle of uni. This is what the Philippian church is all about. Let's care for one another. In our connect groups, the best thing you can do, always ask, you know, what's happening in your world so that you can keep praying for those in your connect group and see them built up in faith. Is that cool? All right, Philippians 4:10 for the sake of time. Let's go to the last passage of scripture here this morning. Philippians 4 verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last, this is the New King James Version, your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. I'm going to come back to that. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, to be content. Who'd like to have some of that in your life? I know how to be abased, in other words, lacking, and I know how to abound. Say the word abound with me. Abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for the necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that what? Abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound and full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The title of my message this morning is In Christ I Abound. In Christ I Abound. We are at the end of this great letter written to the Philippian church, which contains some three of the well-known verses of the Bible. The first one is, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. 4:11. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Second, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 4:13. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 4:19. See, the first two refer to Paul himself, the last to the church in Philippi. We know that the church had a history of generosity. Wouldn't you like to have a history as a church that we are known to have a history of generosity? The first verse that I read out in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. They were there for Paul in the good times and the bad, and I'm going to explain this verse as we go along a little bit more. They were there for him in the trenches of the front line. They were there for him in the darkened prison cells. They were there for him emotionally when they got news about him. It was as if those afflictions that were on Paul were their own. They cared that much for him. What a great church. So first, I want to say this morning, the contentment that abounds in Christ. The contentment that abounds in Christ. Even though they had their own afflictions and trials, they had their own GFC. They actually did. Because what happened was they were persecuted, even though they were actually not foreigners. They were of the same nationality in the land. But because they'd followed Christ and not the emperor, what happened? Their businesses started going downhill because the people stopped supporting them. And so that's why it ended up being that they were in deep poverty, because those things that they'd built up, those things that they had a lot of, those things that were prospering, suddenly had gone because of the circumstances of them following Christ. Do you see how incredibly important this passage of Scripture is in context, when you see that their hearts were still willing to see the church being built up even though their own circumstances were lacking? What an amazing thing, and what a lesson for us as his people, never to stop trusting in God regardless of our circumstances. And ultimately our purpose is in building his house. And so church in Philippi acted out of the heart of Christ and not their own need. They gave beyond their own ability. They stretched themselves. And Paul was abounding, the Bible says. He says it himself. And Paul knew they were struggling themselves, but he also knew that they would abound once more. The word abound is mentioned four times in this passage, which I've read. It means to exceed the ordinary. And before I go any further, when someone wants to be a blessing to you for the good work, or simply just wants to be a blessing and give to you, the best thing you can do is receive. Don't look at their circumstances, or don't look at the and go, well, you know, the best thing you can do is actually receive that gift. Why? Because that means they're going to have something in God's account where they will one day, maybe soon, abound again. Can we have a spirit of not only giving, but of receiving? Paul knew their circumstances. He knew how deeply poverty-stricken they were, and yet with the first opportunity they had, when they'd actually got an opportunity to get some money together, they sent it, and now he was totally blessed. And so he's writing this letter in this way, in this manner, where there's this tension between, I want the gift, but I know that God's going to make you abound. Even so, you know, and I know how you're feeling. You hear his heart in this story. See, there's going to be a time of overflow, of surplus, of abundance, which are other means of the word abound, and that these people, the Philippian church, will experience because of their willingness to live for Christ and not themselves. This is really the already and not yet principle, even of faith, isn't it? It's an already. Lana talked about it this morning. It's already. Yeah, got the revelation from God, Marcel and Lana, about having a child. But then, it didn't come when they thought. But they were going to trust God anyway. And then God abounded for them. See, the church in Philippi may not have been prospering in the present, but that by no means was going to stop them from being generous. You know, even when you don't have much, you can still have a generous spirit. Even when you only have a little, you can still be a giving person. And I think that really shows the spirit of Christ. And they knew their contentment, the Philippian church knew their contentment was only going to grow through being generous, not withholding. And I believe this is why Paul was speaking the way he was in this letter. He was communicating from his own heartfelt love for them, just as he knew they were caring for him amidst the exact same circumstances they were facing. And this is why he talks to them about something greater than any circumstance, the contentment that abounds in Christ. Can I have a little bit of air up here? Would that be okay? Is the air on down there? Or it's... Paul is able to say to them that as long as the Philippians are acting in the mind of Christ, they are going to abound. We are going to what? Abound. If you're acting in the mind of Christ, you are going to what? Abound. No matter what is going on, whatever, just stay with God. Their time will change and you will once again abound. There is going to come abundance into your life, even though you may not see the abundance right now. Just keep holding on to God. There's nothing better out there. You might as well trust God and keep putting money into his account. At least you're going to have some deposit for later on that's going to bring a blessing. And so, the Philippian church knew this. Secondly, you will abound with a Philippian attitude. I love this. Your care for me has flourished again, he says in verse 10. Flourished in this context carries the idea of a flower or a tree blossoming and blooming. We are all likely to go through our fair share of winter seasons, when no matter what we do, it's slow going. Am I the only one that's had one of those recently? You know, no matter what you do, it can be slow going. Now, we have a deciduous tree out the front of our place that I planted when we moved into our house. And honestly, this winter, I thought it had died. I thought there's no life on it. I actually went up to it quite a few times. I thought I cannot even see a bud on it, but it is a deciduous plant. So I just kind of like prayed for it and just trusted that it was going to be okay. You know, I look after plants in my house. I've had some success, not always, but hey, my veggies are still growing, our veggies, which is great. And anyway, as soon as spring started, you know, just a few weeks back, there was some buds. There wasn't any leaves, but there was some buds. I thought, yes, you know, this thing is really starting to, and now there are leaves, it's flowering, it's really starting to open up. It wasn't actually dead at all. It was alive. You see, we need to handle the winters like when things aren't going so well. We need to have a Philippian attitude and just hang in there in God. What happens is, you see, your roots will go down deeper into Christ, and you will have something on the inside of you that is quite remarkable. It is really extraordinary. You will, in fact, abound, as the Bible is saying, because when you actually dig deeper into God, you are going to produce more fruit. And so, that the first opportunity the Philippians had, they gave again. And this is why Paul speaks to them in this almost this converse language. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. See, the Philippian church had discovered the principle of abounding fruit. Man, you know, just flick right to the end for me, Danielle. I'll show you what abounding looks like. Flick right to the last slide. That's abounding. That's abounding. You know, that's kind of like, my goodness, I'm leaping up in the air. I may have been reserving my energies a little while back. I may not have seen, but you know what? Through everything in my life, regardless of sickness or in health, I will trust my God. And once more, one more time, what will I do? I will abound. I will abound. Okay, thanks, Danielle. See, the Philippian church was an amazing church in this respect, which is why Paul's love for them was so powerful. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he says. In another, as he's talking about them, the secret to their prosperity was that God had become their supply. Because even in their poverty, even in their lack, they had decided that God would be their supply. It didn't matter what they had, the resources they had. They had simply learned to put their roots down deep into God. And Paul was saying to them one more time, like I am abounding now, you will abound. See, Paul's self-sufficiency becomes contentment because of his Christ sufficiency. Discipleship is learned when we have plenty and when we have want, and we accept deprivation as part of being his disciple. There are times, and I don't know if we fully comprehend it in our Western world, but when we don't have much or when things aren't going the way we thought they are, trust God. God's making you, giving you discipline on the inside. Trust him with all your heart. Things are going to abound again for you. And so understand the simplicity of Christ's sufficiency. Just understand that all we actually need in this life is to keep trusting God. And sure, we got to work. Sure, we got to put things in place. But through having our roots down deep into God, we will bud and we will flourish once again. And in a sense, my God shall supply all my needs is so pertinent. Your circumstances do not alter your ability to abound because your root supply is the sufficiency that you have in Christ. You're not controlled by your present circumstances. You are looking forward to the time that you bud again. Let's read this verse 10 once more. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Let me read point three for you this morning. Through your Christ sufficiency, God can produce a miracle. Through your Christ sufficiency, God can produce a miracle. Now, we know from 2 Corinthians, and we've already spoken about it, how struggling this church was. Paul describes them as being in deep poverty. And there are times in your life and in mine when we're going to have to buck the trend to produce a miracle. Now, if you read this verse carefully, you will discover that this church always had the intent to be a blessing. And as soon as they had something in their hand to give, they were going to give it. They were a make-it-happen church. Would you like to be a Philippian church? Like a make-it-happen church? I mean, we're never going to be as deep poverty as them, but we can be a make-it-happen church. We say, you know what? We can make things happen. And it actually is interesting when you read this verse. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul was saying that their master would fully repay them. They hadn't seen it yet, but their master would fully repay them. The church in Philippi were going to reap what they had sown. I read an article. In fact, it was Pastor Phil Pringle. It goes like this. Recently in our Sunday night service, my assistant minister was giving the announcements and congratulated a young couple that had married the day before. I was so surprised and impressed that they were in church when they would normally be on honeymoon that I told them to come down the front and I'd give them $100. They were embarrassed but came down anyway. Once they arrived, someone else ran out of the congregation and gave them some more money. Then another came and another and another. Soon they had $1,500 in their hands. Over the following week, I heard of all kinds of details about the event. First, the reason they were not on honeymoon was because they had no money for it. Second, just before they had been singled out in church, they had put their last $50 into the offering. The girl's mother, who had been cynical about church, was at the back of the auditorium crying as they saw the people of God blessing her little girl. Others came to Christ that night as a result of seeing the love of God in action. God supplied this couple's needs. He acted in response to their giving to him. What a great way to start a marriage. But you know, we can apply this to our own lives. There are situations and circumstances where we need a miracle. Sometimes there are times when we know in the Holy Spirit we've got to act. They gave their last $50 in the offering. What did they have to lose? They had everything to gain because God was going to be their supply. Giving releases miracles. What about that little boy with his lunch? I kind of mentioned it in passing a few weeks back. You know, here's this little boy, he's got two little sardines and five little dinner rolls. How's he going to feed 5,000 people? But he's willing to give up his lunch. Now, I don't know if you, my little boy, I don't know if he gives up a smidgen of his lunch. He's not so little anymore. But, you know, here he is, and he presents it to the disciples. And then one of the disciples is kind of like, what are we going to do with that? You know, Thomas is going, my goodness, Jesus, you've really lost the plot this time. You know, but what do? They actually decide together that well, you know, Jesus is saying, I want you to start passing it out anyway. So what do? They're looking at each other like, are you for real, Jesus? I've got five little dinner rolls and two little sardines that we just caught out in the Fremantle Harbour there. We were lucky to catch them, and you want me to feed 5,000 people. And so, of course, Thomas, being doubting Thomas, he has his basket of this little smidgen of bread and this little smidgen, it was just an eye, really, of a sardine. And that was it. And he's too scared to look, and as he's going down this massive big aisle, like the whole of this auditorium with all the people were sitting on the hillside, and he's too scared to look, but he's feeling, and people are grabbing at the basket, and he has a look, and suddenly there's no longer an eye of a sardine, there's a snapper, and they're all eating this massive big snapper together and pulling pieces off it. There's like the best Italian loaves just coming out of this basket. It's quite an incredible thing. And at the end of the whole ordeal, there are 12 basketfuls of jewfish and the best quality red emperor and all these fish and beautiful fresh baked bread. And Jesus says to the little boy, "This is all yours. Thanks, son." And the truck backs up, doot, 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 to mum's house. Mum goes, "What have you stolen, son?" And he says, "My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory." See, when we trust God, what happens? We abound. We abound. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we abound. No matter your situation today, when you put your trust in God, you can be like that deer or whatever it is, and you can abound. You can what? Abound. Father God, today I pray for every person. I pray that we will abound. Lord, I pray that we would be a generous church. Lord, that if there are circumstances and situations beyond our control, we would simply put our root system down deeper into you, because we know that through you we will bud and flower and prosper once more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy having a coffee with one another, or maybe a cold drink today.